Good morning, church. It is so great to be here with you this morning, to be in the presence of God this morning as we celebrate who Jesus is, and as we took time to take communion together and celebrate that sacrifice and remember that. What a wonderful time it is to be able to do things together to encourage one another. That's why we're blessed to give this Sunday morning to God completely. Well, I wanted to sing a song before we get started this morning, so let's sing It Is Well With My Soul this morning. I don't lead songs because the song leader didn't do a sufficient job. It's just that while I was working on the lesson, it came to me, we should sing this. So let's sing this together. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well. My soul, and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And maybe you'll understand why we sang that a little bit later in the sermon. But I do want to welcome everyone this morning. We're glad to have our guests here as well as all of our members. It is true, Jana's parents are here visiting us from Oregon. They got here on Wednesday and they'll be here for a couple of weeks. And so you'll see them again next Sunday, Lord willing. And it's just great to have them here. To be able to visit with us and to see family. That's a great thing to have. Again, as Don mentioned this morning, we have our Friends and Family Day coming on October 2nd. So if you want one of these cards to invite someone, please pick up as many as you need. We'll make more if we have to. We would love to have a lot of people here to celebrate that day with us. As you mentioned, we'll have a meal following our worship assembly that morning, and so we want to encourage people to come. And also with our live streaming, I won't be tied right here. I'll be able to walk around a little bit and be able to share some with you. And people at home will be able to see our screen and know what it is I'm referring to when I point to the screen or mention a picture that's up there, as well as to be able to sing along with us with the words and music. And so we're looking forward to having that. Go to our YouTube page and subscribe. It's a great way to have that easy access to be able to watch anytime. But for now, for the next few weeks, we're still on Facebook, so if people need to watch that way, you can do so. Well, our series here on the cross of Christ is to continue this idea, this message of Jesus. And this is such an important central message that we want to preach each and every week. Well, I wanted to start with this story. It was in November of 2019. Ryan Carnes did a few things right and a few things wrong when he went rock climbing in Washington's Cannon Mountains. His first mistake, even though he's an experienced climber with sturdy gear, he knows what to bring. He went alone. He was going to this remote place, this rugged area, by himself. So there was no one there to grab Ryan or grab his line when something just let loose, as he says. He started to slide down the steep, rocky mountainside. He said, there was no part of me inside that said I was going to live. This 36-year-old Microsoft manager from Seattle later told reporters, I just said, I'm falling off a cliff. And people die when they fall off cliffs. Well, Ryan didn't die, but after falling for an entire minute for 300 to 400 feet that ended up with him landing on a boulder, he'd fractured his neck, sternum, kneecap, and left ankle, as well as injuring some ribs. Fortunately, his head was okay, though his helmet took quite a beating. Ryan's second big mistake, he didn't have an emergency beacon. Unable to walk and in excruciating pain, he spread out his orange tent on the ground, hoping that a helicopter might fly over him and see it. No one came. One of the things he did right was to bring a zero-degree rated sleeping bag, which kept him from freezing to death at night. The next day, a helicopter did fly by, but it kept going. And that's when he realized he'd have to get out of there on his own. Using a walking stick to pull himself along the ground, he traveled about 200 feet per hour at around 6,000 feet in elevation until he finally made it to a trail. The other thing that he did right, he texted his mom. She lived in Pennsylvania, but before he left, he told her where he was going to be, what part of the mountains he was going to be in, and when he'd return. And when he didn't return, text her on that return date. She knew something was wrong, so she called the authorities, who sent out a search and rescue team. They found Ryan weak, but alert on the trail. Remarkably, he only had to spend a few days in the hospital, but he is still perplexed by his survival. I hit the boulder with so much force, he said. I don't know why I'm here. Well, how much would you endure when times are bleak? When the world around us is falling in, what does it take to keep going? What or who gives you endurance to keep going? There are many stories that we could have shared this morning about first responders and rescuers on 9/11, those that survived within the rubble on 9/11. The events of 9/11 and today's memorials should sober the Christian, not to continual mourning, but to greater deeds of compassion. We should be jolted back to the importance of evangelism, the absolute necessity of trust in God, and to the fervency of prayer. Well, today's message on the cross of Christ is more specifically that the cross gives us endurance. The cross of Christ gives us endurance. So let's read our text this morning. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, I am not a runner. As you can see and look at me, you can tell I don't do a lot of running. I've never really enjoyed running just to run. Now, if I'm given a ball to bounce or a purpose to run to score some kind of points with that ball, that's something that I've enjoyed. When it comes to this passage, this is not something I'm familiar with, but this is a metaphor that many people at this time were. We find running and racing metaphors in several places in Scripture. This Hebrew writer, he wants us to see that this race that we run isn't meant to be something that we despise, but a joy. I want to take us through this passage this morning exegetically. So I don't necessarily have a particular number of points, though I could tell you how many points I have. They're just pointing out what Paul or what the author of this passage is telling us. I want us to see that the cross is meant to give us endurance to run the race. And I want us to see how the cross gives us endurance through the passage here in the example of Jesus. So let's go through this together. Follow along in Hebrews 12. I'm going to skip two other slides here, but you can follow in your version of Hebrews 12. The cross gives us endurance. He says we are surrounded. The writer begins with this phrase, we are surrounded. As I mentioned, these people at this time, they knew the names of people. And so when you go back to the chapter before this, in chapter 11, the Hebrew writer has spent an entire chapter giving the reader a background in the faithfulness of these Jewish patriarchs and matriarchs of their lineage. The Jewish people knew these names. They knew these people. These were the people that they would quote daily, the ones they taught their children about, you know, the ones that they talked about sitting in their houses, walking along the way, lying down, and when they rose. These people were the ones they remembered daily as the historical ancestors who brought them closer to the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And it is in this context that the Hebrew writer brings our passage today. This passage is for us too. It's a reminder of who Jesus is, how he has transcended all of those ancestors of the Hebrew people. This passage gives us insight into how we can find endurance to continue running this life race that we've been given to run. Maybe a reader finds some hope in something that Noah did, or Enoch, or maybe they remember Rahab, or Abraham, something that Moses did. This writer reminds them to be encouraged by these people. Think about those people who have surrounded you in such a similar way in your life, those whom have had a hand in your heritage, in your history, the people who have maybe helped you to be raised up in the faith and helped you to grow closer to Jesus. Think about the people who surround you now. Today, there are people who encourage you to continue to run this race with endurance. Who is that for you? For me, I think about my friend David Young. He preaches for the North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's a wonderful man of faith, and his messages always encourage me when I hear them. I hear his sincerity and his passion for the gospel and his love of making disciples. I also hear the love in his voice for people I want to be like David Young. Right now, he's going through treatment for cancer, and selfishly, I pray for his complete healing. I feel like the church needs David for many, many more years. His voice is one that we need to continue to hear. And so I pray for him, and I pray for the church that he ministers for. Who is the person that you think of in this? Pray and thank God for those people. If you don't have that person, well, let me encourage you to become that person for someone else. I've heard too often from young adults, people in the millennial generation and Generation Z, the ones that I worked with for many years, they don't like the church because someone has hurt their feelings, has hurt them, and they don't want to be a part of something where that happens, where that might happen. And I always shake my head and say, well, welcome to the world. It is a fallen place. It is imperfect, and that includes the church. You didn't become a follower of the work of a friend. You didn't become a follower of your parents. You didn't become a follower of the church members. You became a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone be the cause of why you leave the church. They are not the reason why you go to church in the first place. Well, then the writer says that we lay aside, or we should lay aside, every weight and sin. This Hebrew author says, in light of those witnesses who surround you right now, lay aside this weight. Lay aside the sin. If our patriarchs and our matriarchs of the faith mean a lot to us now in our growth as Christians, we should be able to lay aside the things that hinder our growth. It is such a shame that we have examples in the faith and then we know how we're called to this holiness and yet we still willfully sin. It hurts. It hurts not just for God, not just other people, but it hurts for the one who is sinning, the sinner. When I personally know that I shouldn't do something, but still sin, that guilt runs deep. I feel a lot like Paul in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15 when he says, "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." How many of you can feel like you've said that before about yourself? For the sake of our witness, for the next generation of surrounding witnesses, we should lay aside all of these things. Well, then the Hebrew writer says this. He says, run the race. Run the race. This is the same race that every single one of these patriarchs and matriarchs ran before us. They faced the same obstacles. They faced the same uneven ground that's out in the world. They faced the same exhaustion. Now it's our turn. And even more so, this is the same race that Jesus ran. Jesus faced the same trials. He faced the same temptations. And he ran. This passage tells us that Jesus is the founder. He ran to found the faith that we hold today. And it says that he is the perfecter. Jesus ran this race with perfection. Not so we can run with perfection. Like I mentioned, we still sin, we still struggle. But we're urged to run this race now with Jesus by our side. He has perfected this race. He perfects us, even when we stumble. Even when we're tired from running, even when we want to stop and go back, Jesus perfects us so we keep going. It is said that our Christian character is not created in the moment of adversity. Christian character is revealed in the moment of adversity. Well, the writer goes on to say that we have this endurance and we run this race with joy. Jesus runs this race how? With joy. This joy was set before him. Jesus was so filled with joy for the race that he endured death on a cross. Jesus, knowing that we would reject him, he still ran. When he knew we wouldn't believe in him, he ran. When he was beaten, he ran. When he was mocked, he ran. When Jesus had nails driven into his hands and his feet, he ran. In his death, he ran. At any time, he could have ended all of it, but he endured. Why is that? He knew what the finish line looked like. He wanted us to get there too. We're not talking about happiness per se. There are things and still are things that bring sadness to Jesus. There are things that will be sad for us today. Happiness is a byproduct of holiness. Joy is something that we get even knowing that things might not be great tomorrow because we have that goal in our mind. And so we go with joy. This false idea that our lives here are about maximizing happiness and that a lack of that happiness must correspond to a lack of God's love, his goodness, or his existence. Jesus did not just go without food for 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus also put to death the devil's temptations of a painless, exalted life. Our treasures are not here. They are with our Father, with him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you find joy in your trials? Are we enduring to be part of this next generation, surrounding those coming next? Are we running this race with endurance so that our children can know with confidence the hope that we have in Christ? We should run in such a way that they do. The theologian Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "Do not expect to be honored in a world where your master was crucified." We may get to the end of this race without any honor, fanfare, no awards here on earth. Remember, Jesus had a wilderness, a Gethsemane, and a cross. When my race is run and I've come to the end, I want my name on someone's list. In retrospect, I would love to see people remember what I lived for. That they would say, "Mike fought the good fight, he's finished the race, and he has kept the faith." Maybe you'd see it like this: by faith, as in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Mike Lewis. Put your name there. By faith, that you might be that surrounding witness for someone else. I may never ever get that. I used to tell people, "I'll probably never receive any kind of award for the work I do or the things I say. I tend to get overlooked in that way, but I'm still going to serve and live my life for Jesus and that ultimate reward." There's nothing wrong with not being liked. There's a funny saying I heard that some people don't like dogs. Obviously, those people are wrong. But dogs have this unique thing about them. They don't let it bother them. People don't like a dog, they don't care. They go on to the people they know do like dogs. I'm not calling us dogs, don't get me wrong here. But live for Jesus Christ and don't worry about what other people think of you. Another theologian, Martin Luther, famously preached this message, and he said, "Live like Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow." Do this every day. Run this race with endurance every day. The cross of Christ gives us the endurance to run. When we see the shadow of the cross, we see the finish line to the race. The beloved hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," declares this: "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Believers in Christ, are you allowing God to use the circumstances of your life to teach you to say that? Take encouragement from the Apostle Paul when he says this in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning that if you need that endurance, you just need some help. Maybe you're not having that endurance in your life because you're letting the things of this world cause you to stumble and trip as you're running this race. We want to pray with you this morning. We want to give you an opportunity to come, and if there's any need that you might have, there are things that maybe are going on in your life that you need prayers for this morning. We want to pray for you this morning. If you'll come forward during this song we're going to sing in just a minute, we'll do that. We'll pray with you here right in the moment. And if it's okay, we'll pray with you with the rest of the congregation as well. That is one thing that we're looking forward to having with this live streaming, is that when we have people come forward, we'll have it to where it'll make it a little more anonymous for those that are watching online. For now, we've been editing that portion out when we can. So if you have a need this morning, we want to pray with you. And so Jordan's going to come and lead this song. Let's stand together and let's sing, and we'll pray with you this morning.